Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS. I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Felix Leit, formerly of the Moscow Times, traveling. He's in London. But Felix is here to help me understand a story about how the Russian people are learning of the conflict in Ukraine, the conflict with NATO, the conflict with all these capitals, Paris, Berlin, London, of course, but Washington most importantly. And we go to something I did not know about until I read about it in the Moscow Times. It's called Yandex, and it's described as the Russian Google. Felix, a very good evening to you. Where is Yandex, and what does it mean to be the Russian Google these days? Good evening.
Well, good evening, John. Yeah, you know, Yandex, it's a big player in sort of the Russian tech market. It has been for many, many, many years. You know, a very big company employing very many numbers of people in Russia. Very sort of an innovative company. You know, in many ways, sort of Russian sort of technology in many fields, things like payments, things like financial services, is if you believe it or not, sort of actually rather ahead, perhaps, even of Europe and the US. You know, it's a very dynamic field, but it is one, you know, where Yandex have really sort of had to make their compromises with the Kremlin. You know, we've seen sort of a lot of controversy around the fact that sort of Yandex has been very actively censoring news over the war in Ukraine, sort of since the war began on, what is it, February 24th. But also at the same time, you know, Yandex sort of programmers, Yandex sort of computer guys, they're a liberal, sort of a demographic, an opposition one. And many of them have actually left the country. You know, we've seen sort of, I think Yandex move about 2,000 employees to Tel Aviv in Israel. So, you know, a very sort of perilous sort of position for the company. You know, on the one hand, this real sort of flagship of the sort of high-tech innovative economy in Russia, but also one that's sort of under sort of stresses and strains in the context of this war and this confrontation with the West.
It functions not only as a search engine, but as fintech. Is that how to understand this? You can make payments on it, and does it have an e-commerce aspect as well, sort of like eBay?
Yeah. You know, sort of Russian companies in this sector, sort of Yandex, Sberbank as well, which is, you know, 10 years ago was a sort of a crusty state-owned monopoly bank, but was now a very sort of progressive and sort of forward-looking company. What they tend to do is they tend to do a bit of everything. You know, they have, you know, what they'd call sort of an ecosystem. You know, they're sort of doing payments, they're doing sort of online sales, they're doing banking, they're doing transport, they're doing taxis. You know, a lot of these companies will do everything, and sort of they sort of offer, well, sort of almost an entire lifestyle to their consumers. So it is, you know, this was always one of the ways someone like me, you know, who lived in Russia for many years, you could sort of enjoy a life of real sort of comfort and sort of ease in Moscow, which, you know, I think most people overseas wouldn't expect. And this is one of these things that sort of has, I think, to some extent come to an end with the war. You know, this sort of cosseted sort of, 21st century life that one could live in Moscow for not very much money at all. It was very, very comfortable time. And it's something that really did come to an end with the beginning of the war in Ukraine.
It reads, the report in the Moscow Times, many of Yandex's approximately 18,000 strong payroll fled to Armenia, Yerevan, the capital, yep, and Israel, Jerusalem, after the invasion. Yandex reportedly approached the Israeli government about relocating 800 employees and is seeking an office in Yerevan. So they are continuing to work for the company remotely outside of Russia. Does that mean that they are in some way constrained about what they can do, about their investments or their opportunities? I don't understand. What does it mean not to be in Yerevan?
Well, you know, for many people, you know, you've got to remember that Yerevan sort of became, in the weeks after the war, really this sort of hub for the sort of Russian emigration. So I think, you know, Yandex looking to set up in Yerevan is really a case of them trying to have their cake and eating it. You know, they want to retain sort of talent, you know, talented people, talented programmers, talented computer scientists that sort of basically want to get out of Russia, you know, and they want the sort of the comparative freedom and the comparatively sort of liberal and democratic atmosphere of Yerevan, where, you know, you've not got a war, you've not got wartime censorship, you've not got things like, you know, the draft, you know, this kind of stuff. But they want to keep these employees around. So they're really, it's an interesting illustration, I think, of how big the sort of the tide of all wave of emigration out of Russia by these sort of educated, you know, sort of professional classes, something we spoke about, John, you know, the people moving to Georgia, to Armenia, to Central Asia, to Turkey. You know, it's really a testament to how big this wave of people was, that sort of big corporate entities like Yandex are really having to sort of run after them and look to sort of, you know, retain whatever talent they can, I think.
Now we go to the unknowns of Victory Day. This is an event, it's a holiday, I believe, in Russia, certainly in Moscow, where in the Red Square, the battalions and also representative of all of the services parade before the Kremlin and are on television and their flyovers. It can be very spectacular. It has been since 1945. But the question raised in the Moscow Times is, what is it going to be this year? Is there going to be an exciting announcement? For some time, Felix, you know there's been speculation that Vladimir Putin wanted a success to announce, maybe even a ceasefire or an armistice, or we've annexed the Donbass. That, at this point, seems a bridge too far. So what are the rumors now in Moscow about Victory Day?
Well, you know, I think there's a real sort of, you know, rumor on the grapevine, as it were, that sort of that Putin could use the occasion of Victory Day to declare war, to sort of, you know, perhaps institute martial law, to institute some kind of mass mobilization. You know, this is something that I notice has been put out sort of mostly, I think, by Western intelligence agencies. You know, we've seen the British Defense Minister Ben Wallace saying sort of words to this effect, that he thought this would happen. I think the U.S. sort of intelligence community is basically echoed that assessment and said that they think something of the sort is going to happen. You know, in actual reality, you know, I think it's very, very hard to predict what might happen. You know, Victory Day in many ways, it has a kind of, I don't want to say a carnival feel, but it's not an entirely sort of solemn occasion in Russia. You know, in many ways, it's a bit of a sort of a celebration of victory rather than a commemoration of loss. And so I think that, you know, it would be an unusual time to sort of strike a sort of bleak note, I think. Although, you know, as we all know, it's very hard not to strike bleak notes right now. In the context of Russia's war, you know, Russia's, you know, deeply troubled, I think, military campaign in Ukraine, it's very hard to see what kind of optimism, what kind of sort of, you know, positive spirit could be summoned up by Putin in his address on Victory Day. So I think we'll be watching it very, very closely. And I don't know what will happen. And I don't think anyone really does know what will happen besides, you know, perhaps 3, 4, or 5 men in the Kremlin.
And there are rumors about Vladimir Putin as well. Are those rumors all in the field in Moscow? There are rumors about his health. Again, there's fog of war here. There's no trusting. But are those rumors being echoed in Moscow, to your knowledge?
Well, you know, I think rumors about the health of the sort of the authoritarian leader are really a sort of a feature of any and all authoritarian regimes. You know, in the sort of the fog of sort of the sort of, you know, lack of transparency and the sort of the very opaque kind of government that you get in countries like Russia, you know, rumors about the big boss's health are really sort of par for the course. But, you know, there has been reporting, of course, that sort of by Russian journalists that, you know, Putin has been seeing specialists with thyroid cancer. And, of course, that remains to be seen because, of course, that thyroid cancer has a very high survival rate. So, you know, there's, you know, I don't want to sort of fan any fires here. You know, this is a very sort of murky set of hypotheticals we're talking about here. So, you know, in terms of Putin's health, your guess is as good as mine, and my guess is as good as anyone else's.
Yes, nothing confirmed. Fog of war, Victory Day, indeed. Unknown. Felix Light, formerly of Moscow Times, now traveling. He's in London. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.